Exercise has a role in the treatment and prevention of more than 40 chronic diseases, including diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and hypertension. Starting an exercise program may sound somewhat daunting. However, with a little juggling of schedules and regular reminders to yourself of the benefits, you'll soon be on your way to prolonging your life. Want to know what's in it for you? Then stand by. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. I'm Dr. Nerida. Welcome to Go Healthy for Good. It is possible to age successfully, but not without being physically active. And I'm not talking about running marathons. Any activity counts if you're active for more than 10 minutes or more at a time. I want to introduce you to Mrs. Grace Alice Menzel. Here she reminisces about her life and some of her secrets to successful aging.
My husband brought home some halibut, and I loved halibut. And I was cooking that, and oh, I didn't like the looks of that. And I thought, I'm not going to eat that, and I'm not eating meat anymore. That was when I must have been about 22. You know, you read it nowadays in all the magazines that you're better off if you're a vegetarian. I think it's affected my health. I think that's why I'm more healthy than some people my age. And being active is another. People used to say, well, what do you do when you don't have a family? I don't know. I kept busy without having a family. I'm just that type that I always got to be busy. I used to have a huge garden, and I had a big yard with lots of flowers. And I always canned a lot of stuff and dried a lot of things. I was head of the kindergarten for about 30 years. And then I worked in I was the superintendent, Sabbath school superintendent for a while, and then I spent a number of years as the greeter. And I worked in the community service for 35 years, 37 years I have. And I am the treasurer of the council here, and I've written about 50 songs. And then I sewed. I used to make all my clothes, coats and suits and everything. But I don't do that anymore. Well, it's a lot more fun to give them. And so I started sending them to the mission field. They sent quilts, dolls, the stuffed animals, and the T-shirts. For several years, I made $200 a year.
That's a T-shirt I made. That's what I made. I made all these. This is a little sweater I made that I'm going to sand.
So I don't know. I don't think that I've done a lot. I've been busy, but I haven't done a lot.
And staying busy is part of the secret. Since we're talking about exercise, we have Sean with us to get us moving today, and a chef with a recipe that will get your taste buds tingling, along with a great expert from Harvard. But first, the news. In the headlines today, 7 a day keeps death away, diet drinks increase the risk of heart attacks, and premature death rates still high for overweight teens. Researchers examining dietary habits of adults found that eating 7 or more servings of fruit and veggies each day was tied to a 40% lower risk of death overall. In addition, death from heart disease and stroke was reduced by 30% and death from cancer by 25%. Vegetables were almost twice as protective as fruit. But beware, frozen or canned fruit seems to increase the risk of death. On average, Americans eat only 3 servings a day, which includes potatoes. But by eating up to 10, you could halve your risk of an early death, and you don't even have to break a sweat. Diet drinks may increase the risk of heart attacks, stroke, and other heart problems in older women. This comes from an analysis of diet drink intake by 60,000 postmenopausal women involved in the Women's Health Initiative. So avoid diet sodas and diet juice drinks. Instead, drink water. Among people who were normal weight as teenagers, death rates have fallen 40% for those born in the 1980s compared with those born in the 1950s. However, people who were overweight or obese during their teen years showed no significant extension in life expectancy. Instead, they are more likely to die before the age of 50. This research was carried out using data collected for over 2 million people conscripted to military service in Israel when they were aged 16 to 20 years of age. While causes of death have not been analysed, it's well established that obesity increases the risk of death from heart disease, diabetes and cancer. So parents, encourage healthy eating habits and an hour of physical activity by your children so they can enjoy long and healthy lives. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news. Dr. Edward Phillips was a speaker at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine's annual meeting where we were able to interview him. He's Assistant Professor of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation at Harvard Medical School and Director of Outpatient Medical Services at Spalding Rehab Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. He's co-authored a book called Exercise as Medicine. Such a title infers that inactivity may even be a disease. I asked him for his thoughts. Dr. Phillips, you have a catchphrase, or you have an article or a book even, that says exercise is medicine. Does that mean that inactivity is a disease?
Oh, that's a great question. Actually, the evidence for the dangers of what we're doing right now, simply sitting, is mounting. And it should actually be considered perhaps sort of a separate risk factor for heart disease.
Just sitting?
Just sitting.
So a chair is a very dangerous thing?
Absolutely. It's gotten to the point now where I say only half jokingly, if you come into my office and I say, please sit down, it may be malpractice. That's how dangerous it is just to sit for prolonged periods. And when we talk about exercise as medicine, the physical activity guidelines for Americans, and they're very similar around the world, where we ask for people to work towards 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity, and that's sort of jargon for a brisk walk. 2.5 hours per week, that confers all sorts of benefits on our health. But if after that you're sitting, it's still sort of a separate risk factor.
So you mean if we did all of that 2.5 hours at once and sat for the rest of the week, is not good?
Well, you'd still be healthier than if you sat the whole day or the whole week, but it's still sort of a separate risk factor. And if you look at how much we sit, and how uncommon it is for people to actually get that 2.5 hours per week, and you look at it as a risk factor for heart disease and many other diseases, it's actually interesting to note that it's actually like twice as common as smoking is in the United States, or as even the incidence of high blood pressure or high blood lipids. So it's actually very, very prevalent, and we really need to sort of look at it as a separate disease state almost. And we simply need to get up and move.
Now, you say prolonged sitting. What's the definition of prolonged sitting? How long?
Yeah, I can't give you an exact answer, but if I were, I mean, for myself and for my patients, certainly like after an hour, 2 hours at the maximum to get up and to move around would be well indicated. There's other things you can do to cut your sitting during the day. Very popular now is actually using a treadmill desk.
Really?
And I've got a bunch of doctors that I work with that have come to courses that we run, and part of their reaction to what they hear when we train them in physical activity and exercise is to go and get a treadmill desk. And what that involves, and perhaps in a future show you can set up two desks next to each other, is a computer, on a platform, and there's a treadmill. Now, usually you only walk about a mile an hour, which is pretty slow. But after you've been on the computer for a few hours, you've covered a few miles, and you haven't been sitting. So that's sort of a simple one. Cheaper than that, and probably a little bit easier for most of us, would be to set up a standing desk. And that's the way desks were until the 19th century. People stood to do their work. It's only much more recently that we actually decided for some reason to sit down. Mm-hmm. So standing desks can accomplish the same thing. My favorite actually are desks that go up and down, because you may get tired of standing or being on the treadmill and sit it down. And even if you choose to sit, why not sit on a therapy ball? They don't cost very much. There's all sorts of therapy ball chairs. And anything where you're kind of working your core, you're going to burn an extra few calories. And those calories add up, and you're not sitting.
They do. And as you're building up your core or building muscle, you're also increasing your metabolic rate. So it's not even just while you're sitting, is it?
Yes.
For the next...
Correct. That's probably more the case if you're doing something a little bit more vigorous. I think the better studies are more if you've lifted weights where your metabolic rate stays up. But just to anything.
But if you're sitting on a therapy ball for 8 hours,
even for an hour a day. I mean, let's take little pieces of this. Even I have in my home office, I have a regular nice comfortable chair, and I have a ball chair next to it, and I switch off, and it seems to work.
After the break, we'll join Chef Jeremy in the kitchen to learn how to make a spicy dish. But first, this.
Oh, that was a great walk. You know, you should take regular physical activity. Good for your health.
Oh, I don't need to do that. If I get sick or have a health crisis, I'll just go to the hospital. They'll have a great treatment for me, I'm sure.
Have you ever heard an ounce of prevention?
Is worth a pound of cure. Yeah, I've heard that little ditty, but that's not really true.
How much does it cost to go for a walk?
Oh, well, a good pair of walking shoes, it cost $120. That's expensive.
And a good heart surgery costs $120,000. That's
expensive. Wow, that much. Well, I'm glad I got that new health care plan. I don't have to worry about that anymore, do I?
But how much time would it take to recover from heart surgery?
Oh, well, I don't know, but walking requires about an hour a day, and think of all the sweat that I'd be doing.
Well, for one, it's only half an hour a day, and you don't have to sweat to get the benefit of exercise. And besides, those are minor details compared to having heart disease and diabetes.
Oh, well, I don't like to think about those things.
No.
I've got the new Ostrich health care plan.
Ostrich? Is that your new health care provider?
Well, kind of. I just stick my head in the sand and try not to think about it.
Oh, brother. You can't ignore having a heart attack unless, of course, you drop dead like 50% of people do with their first heart attack.
Drop dead? 50%?
50% do. And the other 50% have to go through cardiac rehab. You know, they can't work, they can't lift. Many of them have depression coming out of a heart attack.
Ah, well, don't worry about the depression. I'll just ignore that as well.
Oh, and I guess you think you can ignore the pain of recovering from heart surgery?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Well, and then you wouldn't be able to do very much. I'd have to drive you around.
What? You'd have to drive me the way you drive? No way. Well, did you say just 30 minutes a day of exercise?
30 minutes a day.
Hey, you know, I saw a good pair of walking shoes in here, and they were on sale.
Perfect. An ounce of prevention is worth $100,000. So prevent disease with food and fitness, doctor's orders.
I love learning about my ancestors. It makes me feel like I have a place in history. And I always tell my family, the more you learn about your past, the more you understand the present. But the past doesn't have all the answers, especially about the future. There's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the world today, which is why I'm so happy that I found something that brings together my past, my present, and my future. I know that no matter what happens, there is a plan. And this gives me hope. Welcome to Go Healthy's Kitchen, and we have a chef in the kitchen today. We have a visitor, Jeremy Dixon, who is a chef and owner of Revive Cafe, and he's here to take us through another great recipe. Jeremy, what have you got for us?
Well, today we have a corn and pepper fiesta salad.
Ooh, that sounds spicy and energetic.
Exactly, and again, this is an easy salad to make, the type of one that you can use with some very simple ingredients and can go together in literally seconds.
Oh, I love it. I love quick and easy.
Exactly.
So tell us, what's in this?
Well, first ingredient is, we have 3 cups of frozen or canned corn, 1 red sweet bell pepper, 3 green onions, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt.
That sounds easy.
Exactly. So this is one of those throw all the ingredients into a bowl and mix it up type of salad.
All right. So shall I throw the corn in?
You can throw the corn in. And I'll start chopping the red peppers.
All right. And this 3 cups of corn will be equivalent to 2 cans.
That's right.
Each can would have a cup and a half. So I've done my bit. I'm done. No,
I'll try and
keep
up.
Working here. So we wanted to add a little olive oil in there.
That's right. And with the caps, with the peppers, when you chop them, you want to just keep them nice and big and kind of chunky. Makes it more interesting.
Sure.
Got the green onions. I'll chop them up. Throw the lemon juice in. The lemon juice gives it a really nice bite.
Sprinkle a little salt over there.
There you go. Is that everything? How quick was that?
It is. It is. That was quick. And I can see that. Did you want to put some?
I'll use that for garnish.
Garnish. Okay.
Yep, we'll just chop your bits off for garnish.
So I'll just mix this through. And, you know, this is so colourful. You just, sweet red bell peppers, they have the highest vitamin C of any fruit, vegetable. What do we call it? It's a fruit, really.
Exactly.
Strictly a fruit. But, it's loaded. So that's a great way to...
And it's my favourite ingredient to use when in a dish needs a little bit of colour. Often a red pepper is the answer to colour up a dish.
So we'll load that into our serving dish.
Great.
And then you look like you're going to follow up with some garnish there to just
cilantro.
Make it look really special.
Some people
special.
Don't like cilantro, so you can leave it out if you don't like it.
Did you know why some people don't like it?
Some people just seem to hate the flavour. I think it could be... No, tell me.
It is. There's a gene.
Oh, really?
That helps us taste cilantro. For some people, it's a peppery, hot, terrible taste.
Yeah.
But for the majority of people, it's a really pleasant taste. So, it's interesting.
It's the reason.
You can spot those people.
Great.
Well, I'm looking forward to tasting.
Yes, time to taste. That makes a great accompaniment to a meal and just easy to put together.
It does, because you've got sweet corn and sweet red bell pepper, so it's really sweet and yummy. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Herita.
Remember Mrs. Mansell? If you were wondering how old she is, she's 97 and still works 2 jobs. Here she is at work.
If you want to be healthy, you have to be active. I climbed the stairs to 6th floor here 2 or 3 times a day, and they said when I fell and broke this hip that my bones were very good and the muscle was very good. Well, now that I'm walking with a walker, it's hard for me to get around, but I can do most anything. I'm just a little slower at it. Doctors, they all think that it's quite marvelous that I'm in the such good condition. And my eyes, just about 6 months ago, I got these glasses. And the doctor said, I don't know anyone 90 years old or older that has such good eyes. So I thought that was quite marvelous. Being busy has helped my mind. I'm sure it has, because, you know, you've got to keep your mind busy if you're going to keep a mind. And so far, my mind has been pretty good. Now, like going to the community service and working, I think that I have to think of what I'm doing. And then being treasurer, I have to keep the books. And I'm sure that helps me. Some people say do puzzles and things like that, but I'm not interested in puzzles. Well, I'd rather be sewing, I guess. But it even takes some thinking to do the sewing.
And I'll bet keeping the books keeps her mind active too. Our guest today is an adjunct scientist at the USDA Jean Mayer Human Nutrition Research Center of Aging at Tufts University. Dr. Phillips investigates nutrition, exercise capacity and leg muscle power and function in the elderly. I asked him how exercise impacts the most common and severe diseases that cause premature death, like cancer, cardiovascular disease, lung disease, and diabetes.
The way I look at the world as a lifestyle medicine specialist and as my specialty is physical medicine and rehab, I kind of cut to the root cause of most of those chronic non-communicable diseases. Non-communicable means they're not infectious diseases that we're spreading. These are lifestyle. At their root, most of what we've just mentioned, cancer, heart disease, is related to our lifestyle choices. How much we eat, how we handle our stress, whether we choose to smoke, and then what you're asking about particularly is, are we getting adequate levels of physical activity? And physical activity, I'll just pause for a second, is a little bit broader than exercise. Physical activity just is, by definition, any kind of muscular movement where you're burning up a little bit of energy. It could be walking around, it could be sitting in a therapy ball chair. That's all physical activity. Exercise is a subset. That's the part where you're sitting and you're planning, you're doing something usually repetitive, you usually have a goal in mind, like I want to get stronger, I want to burn up some calories, I want to get my cardiovascular, my heart and lungs a little bit better shape. So that's what exercise is. And to answer your question, all of them are significantly affected by improved physical activity, getting that 2.5 hours per week.
Now, Alzheimer's is also right up there as a cause of disease, of death in America. And just looking at dementia globally, exercise is now, or physical activity, is now being found to be very important for prevention of cognitive decline and things like that.
Right.
Why this connection between physical activity and aging of the brain?
The fit is not quite as tight as it is with cardiovascular disease or even nearly half of cancers related to lifestyle related disease. But as you said, there is more evidence about even dementias related to physical activity. What's interesting, and I'll sort of give you a little clinical vignette, which is that for many years, actually 18 years, I've consulted on a dementia unit within a psychiatric hospital. And we see people who've come in who are going through a severe dementia. There's often some agitation along with these folks as part of their dementia. A lot of complications from drugs that are being used or being withdrawn. And in the midst of it, my charge in my specialty is to get these people up on their feet. And what's really interesting, just over thousands of patients, is to see how therapeutic it is to get some of these folks back up on their feet after they've been either physically or sometimes chemically restrained because they're not doing well because of their dementia. This is a rather extreme case. However, the therapeutic effects of getting them up on their feet and helping them to walk and to regain that independence, both psychologically and then also a way of sort of calming them, is always impressed me and sort of kept me working on this field.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about the calming aspect, because we all know that exercise does calm us. It's such a therapeutic thing for stress.
Well, there's another piece to it also, which is the societal importance of our ability to walk and what it represents. And I'm very attuned to the feelings of the families. The stress on the caregivers of an Alzheimer's patient are in some cases even worse than the patient themselves for various reasons. There's a famous book for the caregivers called The 36-Hour Day. And you've already figured out why and what that feels like. And what's interesting is that the parents, the loved ones are brought in. It's known that they have dementia. And yet, one of the tangible pieces of them maybe recovering is that, oh, yesterday mom wasn't walking. And today I see her with the physical therapist. And when the family can then walk their loved one, everyone seems to calm. And now they can sort of get back to a more regular activity. So there's more than just sort of the direct effect on the dementing process.
Now, I've seen you write about successful aging. What do you mean by successful aging?
I love this phrase, because what successful aging is supposed to direct us towards is to maintain our vitality, is to maintain all of our faculties, our strength, our ability to move around, our mobility as long as possible, so that we can sort of enjoy life as fully as possible. The way we look at it in medicine is that we'd like to sort of square off the curve where a successful aging may mean that late into whatever years it is, 90s, a lot of people talking about a healthy 100, that at that age you're actively involved in your community, intellectually challenged and working with other people, doing the best you can physically, being spiritually aware if that's important to you, and that the distance from that until your eventual death is sort of compressed. So you don't have these years or decades of sort of slow decline. So that's, to me, that's what successful aging means.
I like that definition. Now that's successful aging. And we've got more from Dr. Phillips, so don't go away.
All day long, I solve problems. It's nuts and bolts and grease. And I love it. But at the end of the day, I think about the world's problems. I wonder why we're all here and how it will end. And I found something that makes sense of it all. Takes the nuts and bolts of history and paints a bigger picture. Now, I have hope.
Well, it's that time again. Time to get moving. Sean, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
What have you got for us?
So we're going to use very simple simple tools today, a resistant band. And we're going to work together as a team, all right? So I want you to grab somebody to work out with you. We're going to do two exercises individually, but I want you to do them simultaneously with your partner, okay? I want you to pick a rep between 15 and 20. Go a little bit higher. Today's about burning fat and calories, okay? So we're going to work a little bit faster, okay? So what you're going to do is, well, actually, no, we got to get warmed up. You can't just start like that.
We got to get warmed up. Yes,
we do. Not a good thing. All right, we're going to start with some jumping jacks. Since what we're going to do is a little bit faster, all right, we're going to start with five jumping jacks in 3, 2, and 1. Go. I'm going to do the modified version where you don't have to do any impact. Okay, 3, 2, and 1. Dynamic exercises, warm the body, heart rate goes up, prepare you for exercise.
All right.
All right, so grab your resistant band. All right, what we're going to do are high pulls. We're working the V, all right, the delts. There are 3 heads to the delts, and we're going to work the entire delt area. This is what everyone sees when you wear a dress, tank top, all that good stuff.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to target it, and here we go. Moving a little bit fast, we're going to go to about 8. All right, you and I are going to go to 8, but I want you to go to 15, okay?
All right.
A little bit faster. This is the full position here. Boom. Okay, we're going to go in 3, 2, 1. Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3 more. 6, 7, 8. I'm doing 1 more for good luck. All right, so once you got your 8, you got your 15, we're doing our 8 here. We're going to go right into a very fast. You can do an alternating bicep curl, or you can do both together. 30 seconds nonstop, all right?
Whoa.
We're not going to go 30 seconds because I don't want to wear you out.
Come on, come on.
All right, ready? 3, 2, and 1, go. So what you want to do here is burn the calories, burn the fat, and just kind of feel that burn.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
After a while, your body just gets a little warmer. All right, I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
It's slowing down,
isn't it? Keep it going.
Cheer him on.
Come on, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Oh, I can feel the burn. I bet
I feel
you
that
can
burn.
Too.
Yeah. So then with your partner, we can either, you can use that one.
All right.
You both have a seat. Okay, and partner one is going to work at one time, and then partner two will work next, okay? What you're going to do is take here, bring it to the side.
So here we're working our abs.
Yes.
And our obliques on the sides.
Yeah, there you go. All the way to the side.
And of course, you're working your core because you're leaning
your
back.
Your turn. There you go. So count out for 30 seconds, 30 reps, whatever you choose. There you go. The more you bring it to the side, the more you work that whole abdominal area. 3, 2, and 1. Nice. There you go.
Whew.
You got me sweating.
We have. Sean.
But that feels good because what we want to do is work at a higher pace, work a different cardiovascular system, and then keep on repeating that. Okay, so set your timer. All right, 30 seconds each exercise. Mm. All right, and then repeat it again. Do it for maybe about 3 times. Okay. All right, let's cool it down, all right? What we're going to do is take this leg here, bring it right behind you, point your knee down, push your hips forward, and 3, 2, 1, switch. Switch them up. Take a nice deep breath. All right, relax. Both feet a little bit wider than shoulder width apart, right down to the middle. The further you can go down, the better. And be patient with this because at the first time that you're doing it, you may not go down as far, but the more you breathe and relax, the more you can reach down. And come up nice and slow. Shake it out. Feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Heart rate is up.
You're glowing.
I am.
Shiny.
I feel good, that's why.
Thanks, Shiny Sean.
You're very welcome.
Researchers for the Adventist Health Study wondered, can a vegetarian diet provide adequate vitamin D, which is found primarily in animal products? Interestingly, no real difference was found in vitamin D levels based on diet. Researchers found instead that the people with the highest vitamin D levels were those who spent enough time in the sun. Safe but regular sun exposure seems to be the best way to get your vitamin D. Regular time outside in the sun is another ageless advantage.
And now for the questions I've received from you via Facebook, text and phone. One stroke survivor called and said, my systolic blood pressure is often elevated around 150. I'm working on my weight, but what can I do to bring that systolic down? Well, whole food, vegetarian diet, including lots of greens, grains and legumes. Eat lots of garlic. You can even take garlic tablets. They help to bring blood pressure down. But those leafy greens are really important because they're loaded with magnesium and calcium. Now, do 3 or 4 bouts of 10 minutes of physical activity every day. Don't skip. Make sure you get good sleep, drink 8 glasses of water a day, and you might even want to think about how you dress. Make sure you dress with your limbs covered on a cool day. Someone else called and asked, do hair perms put you at risk of skin cancer? Well, there's no evidence that perms carry a risk of skin cancer. However, you might be thinking about hair dyes, which do appear to increase the risk of cancer, especially for hairdressers who are exposed to it on a daily basis. Winnie called and said, I've been diagnosed with anemia. What can I do about it? Well, Winnie, you need to take an iron supplement. There's not really a way around it. Once you've become anemic, that means you've lost all of your iron stores, which are stored in your liver for 3 months, so you've lost all of that, and you're already now not got enough to make good blood with. So you definitely need to take a good high-dose iron supplement. And take it with vitamin C, because vitamin C will help you absorb that iron effectively. The thing that blocks absorption is drinking black tea. So if you're taking iron, don't have it with black tea. Try to give up your black tea completely, actually, because even having that with a meal will stop the iron in your food being absorbed. Once you've built up your iron stores, be sure to eat good sources of iron, like legumes, beans, well-cooked green leafy vegetables, dried figs, apricots and raisins. So those are yummy ways to get your iron once you've built your stores back up. Thanks for those questions. Keep calling them in. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And remember, you can text, or if you're calling from overseas, the number's 301-960-5144. Or you can like us on Facebook and post them there. Now we're off to the grocers.
The blackberry grows wild and can be a nasty weed with all those thorns, but it produces such sweet, delicious berries. We're not the only ones that like eating blackberries. So do the birds, the badgers, and even the red fox. And deer enjoy grazing on their leaves. You can see from the dark, rich colour of the berries, there are lots of polyphenols like anthocyanins, quercetin, salicylic acid, and ellagic acid. They contain a good amount of soluble fibre. And with all the antioxidants, they are good for the heart and also for the brain. In fact, they are the top antioxidant food in the United States. Their seeds are even nutritious, containing omega-3 and omega-6 fats, as well as some protein and carotenoids. A whole cup only contains 60 calories. Don't cook them, just eat them raw. Bon appetit.
Now back to our discussion about aging and physical activity. Our guest today is Dr. Edward Phillips, who works at the intersection of exercise physiology and mental health. I asked him if people stop doing things as they age simply because they're physically unable to do them, or because they believe that they cannot do them and so don't try as hard.
It's probably a combination. However, the thing that I sort of hold by and I counsel my patients on is that what's considered like normal aging in our society is so close to just the normal effects, the effects of immobility, or it's not moving, that they get confused. So if you talk about sort of premature aging, we're not talking even when you get to 80, but I could see 50-year-olds who, for various reasons, are not getting their physical activity, and they're not doing their strength training. They're sitting too long, they're not getting their exercise, their physical activity, and they become weaker and weaker.
So it's the use it or lose it,
Absolutely.
Except it's happening at an age where it shouldn't be lost.
Exactly. And what's interesting and sort of very compelling in terms of working with folks is that at any age, when you resume that activity, your body will respond. Even there, famously, colleagues in Boston were doing studies in nursing homes with 90 and even 100-year-olds, giving them weights, progressive resistance exercise, which means a small soup can the first day, and after a little while, heavier and heavier, and their muscles were responding and building up. So it's never too late to get started.
So you can build those biceps even at 90?
We actually focus on the triceps, because that's going to help you get up off a chair. And specifically, if the chair is your toilet, your ability to get off the toilet is often the deciding line between when your children say you could stay home or, you know, maybe a nursing home is best for you.
Yes.
So yes, you can build up any muscles, but I like to focus on the triceps and the hip extensors so you can get up out of the chair.
Mm.
And it happens at any age. You can improve your strength. You could also improve your cardiovascular by just doing more than you did the day before.
I like that, doing more than you did the day before, not the month before or the year before.
The day before.
The day before, just make those tiny steps.
And it may mean walking around the kitchen table twice today, because yesterday you were able to do it once. But next week I'm going to ask, are you up to three yet?
Yeah.
I've got patients who, when they engage from the couch in a physical activity program, they're talking about walking one house to the right. And they know there's a bench there in front of their neighbor, and they're going to rest, and they're going to walk back. And if they do that now twice a day, they're doing better, and then they may venture to that third house.
Mm.
And work.
So you're working with people who are making tiny, big steps, really, by the sounds of it.
Correct. And there actually are, I also work when I put my research hat on, we're working with people to maintain late life mobility. And there's actually a very large study of 1,600 elders around the United States, age 70 up to 89. And we're looking to see what it will take for them to maintain their ability to walk, in this case, 400 meters, or about a quarter of a mile, which is sort of a proxy for being able to remain in the community, where you can walk sort of functional distances. And basically, this very large multi-year study, this life study, is looking to see if we continue to do exercises with these group, with this particular group, are they going to be able to maintain that mobility in the community?
That'd be interesting. When will that study finish?
The main results are coming out in the spring of 2014.
So we're
about to crack and open it up.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. So what are the barriers to exercise in this kind of age group, or even in the 50s and 60s, as you mentioned?
So for most people, in terms of barriers, they vary according to the individual. And the first thing that I would tell you is that to know what your barriers may be, I'll have to ask you. But the common ones are people say, oh, I don't have time. Or if they think about, if I happen to use the word exercise, they may say, oh, exercise, I'm going to have to change, I'm going to be sweaty, I'm going to be out of breath, I'm going to have to go someplace else, I'm going to have to schedule it, I'm going to have to spend money where I go. And I back off and I say, well, I wouldn't want to do that. Did I say exercise? What would it take for you to become a little bit more physically active? Well, what does that mean, doctor? Well, do you go to town to do your errands? Well, sure. Well, how about parking one place and walking to the several stores? How about when you go to that big box store, instead of following the habit of the average American and circling the parking lot for as long as it takes to get within 100 feet of the front door, park in the back of the lot and walk your way in. Less chance of getting your car dinged, and you'll get it 5 minutes of activity instead of sitting in your car circling around. Now, when you come out with your carriage, you're going to have another 5 minutes of activity. The 30 minutes per day or the 150 minutes per week is accumulated. So I've got your 5 minutes going in, 5 minutes going out. Maybe you've walked around the store for half an hour. We're doing better than sitting home and ordering online.
So what you're saying is think strategically about what are the things that put me off and can I problem solve those?
Yes.
After the break, we'll be talking about options for maintaining good physical function, so stand by.
Mm-hmm. is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
You know, I never really liked taking out the trash. I mean, who likes taking out the trash anyway? I mean, it smells and you're always amazed at how quickly it accumulates. And worse yet, if you forget to take the trash out for the garbage truck to pick it up 1 week, you've got to sit with that trash for an entire week. And then by the next week, when that garbage truck comes to take that trash, you've accumulated even more smelly trash. But oh, the relief when that garbage man comes and takes that trash away. You know, in life, we accumulate a lot of trash, don't we? The trash of lies, lust, guilt, shame, and past mistakes that weigh us down. Did you know that someone paid the supreme price for your sins? His name is Jesus. And he took the trash of your sins and he placed it upon himself, and he died the death that you and I deserved. But then 3 days later, he rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. Today, he offers you, in place of your trash, his gift of grace and forgiveness. I accepted this gift when I was 12 years old. And I found that after you accept this gift, he begins to live in you his life of righteousness. And then you begin to experience peace and joy. So why don't you give him your trash?
We're back. Did you notice how cheerful Mrs. Mansell is? Here she explains the reason for her happiness. Watch.
When I was young, I did a lot of playing, and I just played all the time. When I grew up and got married, by then I started doing more profitable things. If we love the Lord, we're going to do a work for Him. We can't just say I love the Lord and do nothing. It takes work besides faith. I don't know exactly what he does have in mind for me. I would say probably just living for Jesus, because that's the most important thing there is. If we want happiness, we have to be serving the Lord. And that's the greatest desire of my life, is to be serving the Lord, whatever He has for me to do. You know, I could go tonight. I could go today. I don't know. The Lord knows that. And we've got to learn to trust the Lord completely. And that's what I want to do. I want to trust the Lord completely. And if you're trusting the Lord, you can't help but be happy. It's just one of those things. He has blessed me in so many ways. I kind of kept Him busy. My name is Grace Alice Mansell. And I'm 97 years young.
And she's kept him busy for almost a century. We're talking to Dr. Edward Phillips, physical medicine and rehab specialist with a special interest in exercise physiology. I asked him why we walk slower as we age and if there's an ideal pace at which to walk.
Well, so good question. People will generally sort of walk as fast as they can, or as fast as they choose to, and as fast as they need to. There are certain metrics, for instance, the timing of the walk signal to cross a large street in an average city. You've got to walk about, it's a meter per second, okay? It comes out to about 2 miles per hour, Okay, and that's what it takes to get across the street. Now, there have been hundreds of studies. If you had one measure of how sort of healthy or vibrant someone is, one of the best ones is actually how fast they're walking. And I've got a colleague, Dr. Bob Salas, who started the Exercise as Medicine campaign, and he puts it very simply. He says the Grim Reaper walks at about 2 miles an hour. Just stay ahead of him. And there's a lot of science to support what Dr. Salas has crystallized out of hundreds of studies.
So the Grim Reaper walks at about two miles per hour.
Just stay ahead of him.
All right. Now, what about balance? I'm thinking for older people, falls are a real fear and can be a real barrier to exercising, yet by not exercising, they can overbalance more often. So how do you solve that problem?
Great question. So falls indeed happen. At least one out of three adults over age 65 in America will fall. Depending on your bone density and whatnot, many of them can be injurious, meaning that you're hurt from the fall. And the older you get, the worse the injuries get. When you're younger, when we're talking about older adults, it means you're only 65, the teenage of older, you can get your hand out. Right. And you might break your wrist, which is horrific, but better than in their 70s breaking your hip. Yeah. And in the 80s or 90s, you don't get your hand out and you hit your head. Mm. So we're trying to avoid falls. Balance can be improved again at any age. And anyone, even if you work for Cirque du Soleil, you're always working on your balance and you can always improve it. And there are many exercises that can be done both at home and guided by, let's say, a physical therapist to get started to improve your balance. So that's important. And you're getting at an important point, which is that people know when their balance is starting to get bad and they feel unsteady and they prefer to sit. And I have these heart-to-heart conversations with my patients saying, you know, you may consider using some sort of an external support in order to allow you to walk, because you're going to be much better, and for all the things that we've talked about, you're going to be in much better shape if you walk even with some sort of support than to sit there proudly saying, I'm not walking, I'm not falling. Now, some people recoil and they say, external support sounds like a cane. Mm. I go, it can be. And for some people, that's not sort of socially acceptable. However, there are some people that use Nordic poles, which are sort of much more athletic, or a hiking stick. And it helps them the same to maintain their balance. The Nordic poles are actually both hands. They can walk faster. They can walk further. They actually use their core a little bit more. And everything's improved. Now, at some point, people need a walker. Or a four-wheeled walker. But even then, the encouragement is, let's keep on moving. And once again, if the concern is over sort of the social acceptability of that device, I have patients who gladly will go to a large box store where they will go with their spouse and push the shopping cart around for hours because it's socially, they're helping, and it's socially acceptable, and they're getting their exercise. And so We meet the patient where they are.
So it's someone else's walker there. It's the store's walker.
Correct, yes. Correct.
Now, what about strength training? We know that strength training, whether it's lifting dumbbells or whatever it is important. But how late do you continue doing strength training?
So the general term that we use is resistance training, mm-hmm. which has to do with anything that stresses your muscles. Meaning we can use dumbbells. You can use your own weight to push up. There's various, you can use a resistance band.
Right.
You can use devices and books and things that you already have around the home. And you don't need to get special equipment. So that's the first thing to understand. Mm. At any age, when you stress the muscles, they will respond. They will grow slightly larger. They will be stronger, and you'll be able to do more. Now, what's interesting is that when I go home and I lift weights, I do it because it's good for my health at my age. Hopefully I feel better. There's myriad improvements in it, And I ask a sort of a question of audiences or medical students saying, this is a physics problem. If my dad, who's 30 years older, goes and lifts the same weights the same number of times, who's done more work? And the answer, of course, is we're doing the same work. Whose life is immeasurably impacted more, his or mine? And in his mid-80s, his life is so much more impacted by maintaining his strength and maintaining his independence. So living in Manhattan, he walks rapidly across the entire island of Manhattan. He does his exercises, and he's living quite independently by maintaining his strength and maintaining his mobility.
Now that's successful aging.
That, absolutely.
So remember to take the medicine of exercise every day. Aim for 150 minutes a week, along with some strength training. Don't stay sitting down for prolonged periods of time. It counts as a risk factor for coronary heart disease. So get up and move around every 1 to 2 hours. If you want to age successfully, and who doesn't, then maintain your faculties, strength, and mobility for as long as possible. And the only way to do this as you grow older is to work out. You are never too old to lift weights and build muscle. And remember that being able to walk 400 yards will allow you to maintain your independence and stay ahead of the Grim Reaper. That's all from me today. Thanks for joining us on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.